B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You believe the Titans and the Raiders are the two leaders in the clubhouse for Tom Brady's services. Do you think that it's more likely that he'd sign with one of those teams than return to New England? Or where do you put returning to New England in that pecking order, Jeff?
If you're asking me to put odds on this thing, I say Titans and Raiders, and then I say Patriots, and then I put down the list teams like the Chargers, the Dolphins, and some of those other names. And I would put the Patriots somewhere pretty close behind, though, the Titans and the Raiders, if you're asking me to put odds on this thing.
Oh, well, that's not so bad. Patriots are there. They're on the list. What are we all worried about?
It's Jeff Darlington on the Adam Schefter podcast. We played this earlier in the program. I'll just reiterate my thoughts on that. My big takeaway is, hey, you know what? You're a safety school. It's okay, Patriots. A lot of people end up going to their safety schools, okay? I don't know if it's the Titans or the Raiders who's the real dream school, the real home run school. You know, you're probably not going to get in there, but you'd never be able to live with yourself if you didn't apply there. You know, with Tim McCone, UConn, for instance, right? Like a dream, all-out dream scenario. It would be perfect for me. I can't live with myself. I can't sleep at night if I don't apply there. So I don't know if that's the Titans or the Raiders, but they're both ahead of the Patriots. Then you have, like, your realistic target, right? You match up. You can see yourself going there. Yeah, you know, your SATs are this. Your grades are that. That's kind of your target school. And then you have your safety school right there down there at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You have your safety school. That, again, would be the Patriots. According to Jeff Darlington of ESPN, that would be the Patriots. You're the safety school. That's not a bad thing, Arcan. A lot of people go to their safety schools.
Sure.
Not everyone gets their financial aid from their target. Not everyone gets into their home run dream school. Doesn't happen for all of us, okay? Some of us have to go to our safety schools. And maybe that's going to be what Tom Brady ends up doing. He goes to a safety school at the end of the day. That's okay. You're on the list, Patriots. It's not so bad.
Yeah, and, you know, safety school is a good way of putting it because it's the safest possible choice for him. It's where he's been all this time. It's where he's the most comfortable. It's where he knows he's got, you know, unending support here. He's got TB12 in his home base here. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense for him off the football field. On the football field, it doesn't make a ton of sense based on what we all saw and observed from him and his behavior last year and how he seemed to be kind of over it with the team around him. And that offense was a bad offense. So, you know, money and sports-wise and sort of, you know, the supporting cast, I think, doesn't make a lot of sense for the Patriots. But in terms of the safety and the familiarity of it, it makes the most sense by far.
Safety school.
Yeah.
And you don't think that's a bad thing?
No, I don't, because I had him lower than that.
One more time, the Arcan power rankings are what? Darlington says Raiders and Titans in no order, but then Patriots, I'll add parenthetically, safety school, right below those two schools, your target school and you know, your home run dream scenario. He had them third. Where do you have the Patriots again on your Arcan power rankings?
Fifth, maybe. Fourth or fifth. So I think this bumps them up a little bit.
So I get why I was a little perplexed why you thought this was a good list from Darlington. I think most Patriots fans would say, behind the Raiders and the Titans, what? But I was a little perplexed why you thought it was a good list. There's the answer. He's lower on your actual rankings.
Yeah, and I also don't really consider the Raiders to be a totally legitimate landing spot just because I think they're in a worse position football-wise than the Patriots are. So I would actually say if it's the Raiders and the Titans, then it's really just the Titans and the Patriots. So to me, Darlington has them, you know, second. That's how it looks to me. If we're going through my warped perspective.
No, I hear what you're saying. You're like kind of half following the list and kind of half not. And we'll get more from Darlington coming up. A lot more on the Patriots as well. Jim just dropped this off for us. Jim Louth just dropped this off for us. Burt Breer did a mailbag, which thank you for trimming this down. Louth, just knowing how much Burt likes to talk, I'd imagine how much he likes to write. Like, how many pages, if you printed out this mailbag, how long would it be?
No idea. I just went to the site. I hit Control F and searched for Brady.
Isn't that the way to do things?
All the mentions.
That's the way to do it. Elliot Friedman, 31 thoughts. What, you think I'm reading that whole thing? Boom. Control F, Boston. Control F, Bruins. Boom. Done. Control F, maybe Sweeney. Done. Same thing. What, you think I'm reading your every Monday I got time for you, Peter King? Control F, Patriots. So I gotta do this with the Breer mailbag now. Radio listeners can't do that with Breer. You sit there for the whole thing. There's no Control F on the radio.
The podcast, you can.
No, it's true.
Scrub through.
And we love Bert, as you can tell. So he says in here, while he's talking about all these wide receiver targets for the Patriots, Stephon Diggs is a name that's out there right now. AJ Green has been out there. There's a lot of names flying around. A writer brings up another name that he's intrigued by. Robert Woods with the Rams. You know, Brandon Cook's name has come up before. And Bert says, well, I haven't heard Robert Woods' name as a potential trade candidate. I really do feel like there's a fit there. It feels like Woods has been in the NFL forever, but he doesn't turn 28 until April, and he's under contract for the next 2 years at just $14 million, which, and Bert says this is key, is less than what Julian Edelman makes. Put that to the side for a second. He says, Woods is also precisely Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Josh McDaniels type of receiver. Versatile, smart, good route runner. I could see them looking at him almost as a bigger version of Deion Branch for their offense. He goes on to detail that, you know, doesn't make sense why the Rams would move on from him, but whatever. If he's available and they're looking to free up money for Cooper Kupp down the line, they can't get a good return for Brandon Cooks, who looks washed. Maybe this is a way to get something, right? It's interesting that that Edelman number is a hurdle, an impediment. And again, Bert says this is key. He'd make less than Edelman. Because what do we keep hearing to surround Brady? Don't they have to go out there and sign a big ticket free agent?
Yep.
Well, how are you going to do that and pay him less
if
than Edelman?
If you can't pay more than Julian Edelman, then what? Like, it's not really worth doing then, is it? You could get another Mohamed Sanu. You could, you know, go diving for a guy like that again if you want to, and try and find some sort of bargain basement guy. But if you want to impress Tom Brady, if you want to get, you know, an Antonio Brown type in here for Tom Brady to finally make him happy with a new receiving tie. I'm not even sure that Robert Woods fits that description, by the way. I think he's a good receiver, but, you know, he was clearly the second best on that team, maybe third best if you want to go down a little bit behind Gurley and even Cooks before he got that second concussion. I mean, I like Woods, but is that going to be enough to get Tom Brady to say, you know what, these guys are committed to winning, they're committed to getting me some weapons, I'm going to go back here and play with Robert Woods? Like, I just don't know about that.
He also had a follow-up question from Elaine Seaman in the mailbag here. Elaine Seaman. She writes in, Brady's last two extensions with the team were done right around this time, meaning after the combine. His 2013 deal was agreed to on February 26th, the last day of that year's combine. And his 2016 deal was done on March 10th, a little while after the end of the combine that year. And that's not a mistake, writes Bert. Most teams, the Patriots included, work out their strategy for the offseason just ahead of the combine. So it makes sense this would be when they start the dialogue with a free agent like Brady, whose fate affects everything else that they do this offseason. I didn't realize that. Like, we had talked about Phil Perry late last week.
Right.
Hey, the combine's going to be a good line of demarcation. Everybody's schmoozing over drinks. Which I do get, by the way. I've heard Mike and Tony talking about this. Why does everybody have to get together in Indianapolis? You can't just text people. You can't just talk on the phone or text or whatever from remotely. You can't do that. Everybody's there in Indy, and it's the whole market. It's like not just Brady. It's everything. It's the receivers you're going to want to get to play with Brady. It's the quarterback you're going to want to get to maybe replace Tom Brady. You're there in Indy. You're over drinks. You're getting all kind of information about everyone. It makes sense you come back with that info and then you sit down with Tom Brady. And Bert points out there is precedent for that. February 26th in 2013, which we haven't quite reached yet, and then March 10th for his last deal in 2016. So that to me is interesting. You know, when they sit down and they do these things, we haven't hit that mark on the calendar yet. So if you're freaking out a little bit, and I don't blame you if you're freaking out a little bit, I think we all have been. I know McCone is over there. If you're freaking out a little bit, we haven't hit the date of either of those last two times they sat down and hammered out a deal.
Yeah. And, you know, with Breeze doing what he did here and sort of announcing, like, listen, I'm going to go back and you guys will figure it out. We haven't discussed our contract yet. Wink. Obviously they have. But, you know, I'm going to go back there, and that's what we're going to be doing going forward. I don't want to go anywhere else, and I want to keep playing, right? Like, we know with Drew Breeze what the ramifications are. We know what he wants to do. We know what the Saints were sort of waiting on. And he just sort of cleared it up real quick and made it, you know, about an easy thing for them all to execute. With the Patriots and Tom Brady, you know, you can wait for Tom Brady to come out and say, yeah, I want to go back to New England. But if the Patriots don't talk to him until the combine or until, you know, something else, and I'm not even sure they'll talk to him at the combine, you know, everybody's going to be so busy doing all those things. Like, is Brady going to get that sort of conversation, or are they going to be sort of talking to other teams and seeing, well, what are you going to offer, and trying to get that kind of information to know what it's going to take to keep him?
Right.
I think that's more likely than a conversation with Brady about, okay, are we going to do this or not? Because I don't think Brady wants to.
No,
Brady wants to go out there.
You go there and you figure out the market.
Right.
His agents, his representatives can go figure out the market, and more importantly, right, the Patriots can try to get a feel for what other teams are going to offer Brady and build their offer off of that. 617-779-0985. We'll get to more on the Patriots here. Why is there so much Brady news out there? And is it possible Brady wants it out there? We can get to that. Plus, a bunch of your Celtics phone calls hanging out as well. We'll get to you coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Something that I think has been very difficult in my assessment of the reactions anytime I mention this for sports fans to digest. It's as if people think it's so unfathomable that he would leave New England, and as a result, they just sit there and say, it's not going to happen. Where we need to wrap our heads around the idea of Tom Brady leaving because he is considering exactly that. That is not speculation. That is fact. And whether they can get on the same page in the next 30 days, that is the Patriots and Tom Brady, and figure this thing out, and it is a tall task from a number of different levels, unless they can figure it out in the next 30 days, Tom Brady is gone.
Woo! Spicy from Jeff Darlington there on the Adam Schefter podcast. You may not know that about Jeff Darlington, but he's bringing the heat. Bringing the heat on Tom Brady. Adam Jones, Christian Arkham with you until 2. In for Zolak and Bertrand. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Why is all this out there? This is a question that Jim Louth asked to us earlier today. Christian, why is this all out there, and does Tom Brady want it out there? Like, is it almost, at the end of the day, going to be, from a leverage standpoint, something that helps Tom Brady get what he ultimately wants?
Sure.
More money, or more help around him, and a return to New England. I think that's an interesting theory. I do feel that every day there are these little updates here and there. And they're not news, but they do advance the story a little bit, and they add a little more context to it. And I do think everything Tom Brady is news. Tom Brady, whether he leaves or stays, I should say, is news. So these little advancements, these little updates, anything that tells us incrementally more about Brady's situation, I think is useful. Some of it may be smoke. Some of it may be people getting played. Some of it may be, you know, ultimately people trying to use leverage. Maybe that's a lot of it. But how much of it is from Brady's side, and how much of it does Brady want out there? And the implication being, the threat that he'll leave. I'll leave. Oh, don't you worry. I'll leave. You hear Jeff Darlington there, who is tight with the Brady camp. He'll leave. He's considering it. You think he's not considering it? Well, then you're wrong. You'll be left holding the bag. He'll go. He'll leave so fast your head will spin. Does Brady want that out there so that the Patriots think he'd leave and that ultimately they give him whatever he wants? They cave on whatever he wants. More control, more fun atmosphere, more money, more help around him. Whatever that is, whatever it is that Brady wants that he feels like he can't get any other way, is this all stuff that Brady's putting out there? Because a lot of the times you hear that and you're like, Brady's leaving, that's bad. It couldn't be Brady putting that out there. Is Brady putting it out there to accomplish something and to get something and to leverage the Patriots?
I think there's no question about it that if that's what's going on here, and I don't see why it wouldn't be. Not only does it leverage the Patriots, but if you make it known that you're ready to leave, that puts a bigger bidding war out there with the other teams, right? Like, the other teams are like, well, he's leaving. Like, we can get serious about this. We know that we can get him out of there.
They don't just roll their eyes at, Brady's not leaving, whatever, right? They get serious
they
about
get
their
serious
offers.
About it. Because let's be honest here, the Patriots are very persuasive, and it's not just with players. Like, we talked about McCourty and Hightower and Slater and all those guys, and even Edelman to a lesser extent, who they all managed to convince to come back. But how about Nick Caserio? How about Josh McDaniels, who had another job lined up and went in to clean out his office, and somehow they got him to stay after that as a coordinator? Like, they get what they want. Like, the Krafts and Belichick get what they want. So if they want Brady back, and that's the one thing that really sort of I'm hung up on in terms of whether or not he's going to stay or go, is the fact that they're like Don Corleone. You know, they make everybody an offer they can't refuse, and they end up getting what they want almost every single time.
Well,
so, you know,
again,
I mean,
I push back on you saying this before. Like, they lost Brian Flores after a year. They've lost plenty of coordinators over the years.
Do
like,
we know that they fought to keep him?
Well, I don't. But you know, like, I would imagine that someone like Josh McDaniels or even Caserio are more instrumental. But they've lost plenty of front office people and plenty of assistants over the years, plenty of players over the years. So, I mean, maybe they're really good with those Godfather offers and handing them out, or maybe they've just kept a couple of people and they've lost a couple of people and they're no different than anybody else.
Okay, but how many guys get a head coaching job and they have the job and it's lined up and they hired all their staff and everything else?
They talked a spineless weasel back into coming back and they said, you have no conviction in going to Indianapolis.
Nick Caserio? I mean, come on, that guy was out the door last year. He was taking interviews. They sent in Jack Easterby over to the ring ceremony to try and lure him away.
They didn't lure him away. They contractually forced him back.
That's sort of what I mean. But like this, he didn't have to sign an extension this year. Like that, I thought was right up there with the McDaniels thing. And, you know, Hightower and McCourty and some of these other guys, probably McCourty could have made more money out there if he really set his mind to it. He decided to come back. Hightower decided to come back. He had that interview with Pittsburgh. He came back.
Right. Now, but for those two guys, I can give you a million guys who left.
And there's other guys who have left. But, I mean, how hard did the Patriots really, really go about trying to get them? I feel like they get generally what they want. Generally.
I mean, normally when you get deals and you're a player coming back and either getting what you want, in Brady's case, I believe like it's probably more weapons, it's usually because you do have another offer in hand. And whether that's McCourty with the Giants, but like that's how he gets paid at top of the market, Hightower with the cupcakes.
You realize what you're saying. Like, Brady is putting his house on the market and ripping his kids out of school, and they're leaving before the football season's even over to go through with the ruse.
Right.
Like, I mean,
I know it seems like a lot, but I find it hard to believe that he actually wants to leave New England.
If that's the case, I'm going to have to turn around and give Brady like this standing O. Like, what? Like, what a ruse. Like, what? That's unbelievable. An unbelievable ability to lie, fib, stretch the truth, however you want. Like, that's unbelievable. You put your house on the market. You moved your kids before football season was over. You acted all pouty all year long, ripping into your team. Like, that is just a long con. If he does it, great. More power to him. Wow. That's just, we can all acknowledge that's a lot to go through. I'm not saying it's impossible he could go through it. That's just a lot to go through.
So
just to get a few more million out of the Patriots, or, you know, wide receiver X out of the Patriots. That's a lot.
No, but if he had no intention of coming back to New England, what's the benefit for him for leaking this information out right now? Like, what's the benefit for having guys say that you're willing to leave?
Maybe it's the truth.
Right, but if it is the truth, I don't see the benefit.
I do. Get it out there that they're not giving him enough money. They're not surrounding him with enough. Get it out there so that Patriots fans take his side. Like, look, and I think Patriots fans are going to take his side.
PR control in terms of actually leaving, maybe that's the case. But outside of that and actually wanting to come back to the Patriots, it makes more sense to me to leak this out and hope that the Patriots actually listen and say, well, this is actually for real, than it actually being for real and leaking it out.
So I just find it interesting. Like, does Brady want this info out there? I've never really thought about it that way, and maybe Brady does want some of this out there because it helps him at the negotiating table with the Patriots. But again, he's going through an awful lot to play that out. And if he is, bravo to him. I didn't think he had that in him. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Let the honorable guy
tease the market. I mean, what the hell, you know? Look at Breeze. He's coming back. Look at his backup. Probably the highest paid quarterback, backup quarterback in the market right now. He buys houses. You know what? These people buy houses all the time.
Yeah. Well, Paul, forget the buying of the houses. Think about the selling of the house.
Think about
the selling of the house. Less the buying. Think of the selling.
I get it. You know, when you hug your kids and they touch your ribs and you're an older player and you want to move on, you know, let him have his 1 year, I mean, to me, 36 million 1 year contract.
Uh-huh.
Let him have his goodbye tour, you know?
You want him to test the market, Paul? What if he tests the market and someone offers him a 2-year deal? So what if he tests the market and someone offers him 2 years? Then what, he's going to come back on a 1-year deal?
You're not just moving yourself. You're moving your wife, your kids. It's not as easy as people think.
You just said people like him buy houses all over the big.
I just feel like he's all over the map. I feel what?
I'm still trying to figure out the ribs thing.
Yeah, that I wasn't.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure about that either.
I thought that was going a weird direction.
Is that like a biblical reference?
When they touch your ribs. Oh yeah, right. Like Adam and Eve.
It feels out of the Bible to me. Felt Bible-y. I don't know my way around the good book, but it felt Bible-y to me. 617-779-0985. What do you think it is that Brady wants out of the Patriots? If he's playing the leverage game, what do you think it is that he wants?
Money and receivers. I think that's it.
Okay, so prioritize those. What's at the top of his list?
Receivers, probably, because I think the money you could get the money somewhere else. But if it's coming back to New England, you need to surround him with better players.
I just find it hard to believe he can accomplish both of those things here. Because I agree those.
I don't know how the Patriots could do it. Especially when there's ready-made situations that are better in both of those areas right now for him.
Maybe I'm naive. I think it's receivers and respect. I think he looks at the Saints situation, and I think
respect is like a nice way.
Isn't that sort of money, though?
Yeah, it's a nice way to refer to money,
right?
No, I don't think. I think receivers and respect, and actually Belichick saying things like the Saints say about Drew Brees would actually go a long way with Brady. I think at a certain point, he's like, you know,
what? What did he call him? An icon, iconic. What did he call him? That's nice.
And he's like, yeah, I guess we'll figure it out in the off season. Like, we'll see what happens.
I mean, look, he's not the most touchy feely guy out there. Okay, for Belichick, that was pretty warm and fuzzy.
I don't think money's at the top of the list. I really don't. I think him wanting to see that they're actually going to surround him with talent in the final years. Like, I think part of the reason he was so upset was because, hey, ultimately, I have a couple years left here, and you gave me Jacoby Myers as a go-to weapon. And it was pretty obvious early on that that was not going to be enough to win a Super Bowl. So I would be frustrated if I was Brady, too. And I'd be pretty frustrated that we didn't even kick the tires on Greg Olsen, and now Robert Woods seems like that might be one of the big free agent signings or something you acquire through trade. Like, that doesn't exactly get me hot and bothered if I'm Tom Brady.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned some of the targets out there. Greg Olsen, I think, is an interesting one. Stephon Diggs is another that we haven't really got to today. And how do you replace Tom Brady? Let's say Darlington's right. He's leaving. Yeah, he's not going to his safety school. He's going to his home run school. He's going to, you know, his target school, not settling for his safety school.
Safety school and Robert Woods, by the way, that's selling like your safety school and being like, and you're going to be in a forced triple. You're going to be in a forced triple your first 2 years.
Yeah.
And you're getting bunk bed.
Yeah, you're getting the bottom bunk. You're getting the bottom bunk in a forced triple. You're not getting your own space. You're definitely not getting the top bunk. Bottom bunk, forced triple, and it's your safety school. How do you replace Tom Brady? Like, what do you replace Tom Brady with? And should the Patriots consider moving up in the draft to replace him? I have some thoughts on that with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985, right after the headlines here from McCone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Here on the Sports Hub, Zolak and Bertrand. No Zoe, no Beetle. Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, night show takeover here on a Wednesday with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We listed off a couple of targets. We haven't even talked about the big name that's out there today. Stephon Diggs, big name that's out there. He apparently took all of his Vikings info off of Instagram, whatever that means. What does that mean? He took everything Vikings related off of Instagram.
It means it's complicated.
So he went back and what? Deleted every picture of him in a Vikings uniform?
Yeah, all the Vikings
like
stuff.
Like every single one?
In the promo. Not in the promo, in the bio, you know? Like the picture, I think, was something.
That seems easy. Like that,
took all that.
That doesn't take a lot of work. Oh, I took it. I took my Vikings wide receiver out of my little bio. Like that seems pretty easy to do. He went back and got rid of every picture.
Ever seen a girl after a breakup?
I don't have Instagram.
Okay, well, Facebook. I mean, whatever. Like you see that they, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's just a relationship thing. But you can scrub that pretty fast if you need to.
There are no pictures of Stephon Diggs in
a Vikings
uniform.
And what's left? In all honesty, what's left?
Like him walking into the stadium dressed up. You know, those shots, getting off the plane.
But that's all Vikings related, isn't it? The team playing in the stadium, that's all Vikings related.
No. It's like in a just in the hallway walking in, like the Brady thing. That's what it is. It's a picture of him with his gym bag walking into the stadium. He's not in a Vikings uniform.
Yeah, but still. What stadium is he walking into?
You can't tell.
But we know who he plays for. Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. He's gotta like delete his whole account. You gotta delete all that stuff.
You gotta start over?
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe you just gotta get a whole new social media. New handle. Well, that takes a lot of work. You build up all these followers now. You got to start over again. So Stefon Diggs, apparently available because he's deleted stuff on social media, which social media is real hit or miss. Oh, he followed this guy. Eyeball emojis.
That's the big one, yeah.
Like, you know, like they're real hit or miss, but I do think there's something. Like, he didn't just delete all this stuff for no reason, right?
No.
He didn't just do it to be funny, did he?
Might have been some kind of temper tantrum he was throwing before he ultimately goes back. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a lot of this over the next month. Like, the next 4 weeks, because that's all we really have to go on. The next 4 weeks, Instagram, Twitter, social media, there's going to be a lot of this sort of stuff until you can actually start signing people. But I think that, you know, agents are getting hints. We'll see probably more of this at the Combine next week. You know, agents are getting tipped off as to what teams want to do. And Diggs probably got some news about the Vikings and their intentions that he didn't like. So he took all this stuff down.
Okay, so let me ask you, let's say he's available. Are you in?
Yeah.
Are you in for a first-round pick? Because you don't have a second-round pick.
Yeah. Give me Stefon Diggs.
Yes, going? Absolutely.
First-round pick.
Hang on. Wait a second. If Brady's back, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Right. This is obviously to help Tom Brady, I think. He's not going to come in cheaper than Edelman, which is something that Burt just talked about. But I don't personally care about that either. But the Patriots may care about that. He's not going to come in cheaper than Edelman. I think last year was the first year of his new contract, if I can tell correctly. But it certainly starts to tick up here for the next handful of years. He's going to be making, let's call it roughly $11 million, and maybe even a little north of that in actual cash over the next 4 years. So he's not cheap. I wouldn't call him ridiculously expensive. You know, in this league where receivers like Odell Beckham are you know, shattering the top of the market, maybe Amari Cooper will raise it even more this offseason. He's not ridiculously overpaid. He's not cheap, but he feels like he's a decent enough contract. If he wants out, first round pick for Stefon Diggs. You guys are both on board.
Done.
It feels like a little much to me, but I think you do it at the end of the day. You need help. Him with Edelman, and you get anything out of N'Keal Harry or Mohamed Sanu, all of a sudden now you're looking pretty good. You still need a tight end, but yes, I would trade the first round pick, assuming Brady's back. If he's not back, you need to use that first-round pick to move up for a quarterback.
QB, yeah.
Which is the other thing that I am intrigued by. I've said a million times, I don't want one of these warm-body veteran quarterbacks. You know, Phillip Rivers, Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, even Teddy Bridgewater. And I understand there's a big age gap there between, like, Rivers and some of these other guys. They're younger veterans. But I don't want any of them. If he's gone... What I want is a young quarterback to come in and compete with Stidham. And, you know, depending on where you draft him and depending on how you feel about him, the young player might be ahead of Stidham. He might be behind Stidham. But either way, I want him to come in and compete. And I've thought for a long period of time, well, they're at 24. What's realistic at 24? Jordan Love, Utah State. Horrible year last year, but he lost a lot of NFL talent. And the year before as a junior, he was really good. Jacob Eason, another guy who goes in that realm of mock drafts. I mean, I think Mel Kiper actually just linked Jacob Eason to the Patriots in his most recent mock draft. He started at Georgia, wound up at Washington, big arm, doesn't really know where it's going. That's kind of the book on him. Mm-hmm. And then Jake Fromm, winner at Georgia, but doesn't really do anything, right? He's a quarterback who kind of ran the ship at Georgia, but there's nothing really off the charts in terms of, you know, his physical attributes there, right? These are some of the quarterbacks that go in the back half of the first round that the Patriots could realistically go get. And if they like somebody in the second round or the third round or even on day three, I'll leave it up to them. I think they've been generally pretty good at picking quarterbacks. Hell, Stidham was a day three pick last year, right? And I like him. I don't know if he's going to be the heir apparent to Brady, but I do like him. Something I hadn't considered, Arcand, is that the Patriots really have the possibility to go get any quarterback in this draft not named Joe Burrow, who's going to go number one. Despite, oh, he might leverage them and force his way out like Eli Manning did. Even if he did that, he's still going number one. The Patriots aren't going all the way up to one. But Phil Perry wrote about this yesterday at NBC Sports Boston. The Chiefs moved from 27 all the way up to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes. And Houston moved pretty far up, I want to say the 20s to like 13 or wherever it was, to go get Deshaun Watson. The Chiefs gave up their own pick that year, another first and a third, to move up and go get Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes, but either of those guys fall out of the top five. Since the Patriots are a few slots ahead of Kansas City, they were 27 in 2017. The Patriots are now 24. You should be able to go up there. Anywhere in that 6 to 10 range, Tua or Herbert fall out, and they like that guy, they believe in that guy, they should move 24, an additional first, and one of their thirds this year, of which they have three.
Yep.
And go get a young quarterback to build around. That's what I would want them to do if Brady leaves and if one of those guys are available. And I think one or both could be available in that 6-10 range.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it sort of depends on what these teams are going to really want. Like, is the first round, the pick at the end of the first round, or not the end, but 24 and a couple of thirds, is that going to be enough to sort of sway one of these bad teams who is picking in the early rounds or in the early picks in the first round there? Is that going to be enough to sort of say, okay, we'll pass on this, you know, not quarterback maybe, but, you know, Jerry Jeudy or somebody, you know, a hot prospect wide receiver. There's some good safeties that might go in the first round, a good old lineman. Are they gonna say, yeah, okay, that'll be enough to get you into the top five? Like, I'm not necessarily sure that will be.
Yeah, so again, it seems out of character for the Patriots. Will they do it? I have no idea. But it's what I want them to do. I don't think any of us know what they're going to do. What do you want them to do? And I said this for a long time about wide receivers, and it hasn't looked so great with N'Keal Harry, but I do agree with the philosophy. Like, you want to hit on a receiver? Try taking one in the first round. You know why you miss on receivers all the time? Because you take them in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. You never took one in the first. Mm. So you want to increase your odds. Doesn't guarantee he's going to hit. You want to increase your odds, take one in the first. You want to increase your odds on hitting on a quarterback? Go take one of the cream of the crop. You're not going to get Burrow, but that next guy, Tua or Herbert, or whoever the Patriots like, I don't think they should rule out trading up to go get that guy. And I think anything outside the top five is realistic based on that Chiefs trade, based on what the Texans did to go get Watson. 617-779-0985. A lot of Patriots talk on the program today. A little bit of Red Sox talk, a little bit of Celtics talk as well. We will get back to your Boston Celtics with the head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, when he joins us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 1 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Adam Jones. It is Christian Arkan. No Zoe or Beetle today. School vacation week, a little break for the guys. It's been a little break for the Boston Celtics as well. They hit the All-Star break third in the East at 38-16. They get started again on Friday night in Minnesota as they begin, I believe, a four-game trip out west. And for joining us for more on the Boston Celtics, it is the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. First of all, Brad, thanks for taking the time.
Yep. What's up, guys? How are you?
I know, you know, where you're stuck with us. You don't get Beetle and Zoe here this week, but it's gotta be better than talking to Grandy for every game, right? That's gotta be better.
Nah, Grandy's great. I enjoy my pre-games with Grandy. That's fun.
So I heard
you probably heard he's a the one thing I've always appreciated about him is he doesn't usually look at and ask the same questions that are asked over and over and over, and so it does become a good back and forth sometimes.
Well, I heard most recently, and I like this. You had to rough him up a little bit recently, right? Like he had a line of questioning, you had to rough him up a little bit, which was kind of another side of you.
Oh, he roughs up. He gives me a hard time most of the time. I'm just, you know, I got to hit back occasionally, I guess.
So I don't know. I've always kind of tried to figure out like who you are. Like I've always kind of looked at you from the outside, like mild-mannered sort of is how you come across. I don't know if you've ever heard, from time to time I'll do an impersonation. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I kind of
I've heard it. My wife loves it.
She does love it?
So is it? Yeah, she loves it.
So does she ever...
We were walking through Sacramento this year, and we walked by like a kid's store, uh-huh. And there was a shirt that said G. Willikers on it. And she was like,
"Tell me she bought it."
Oh my God, you gotta get it! And I was like, "I'm not gonna get that. I don't think I've ever said that in my life." But
well, so that's
hey,
not,
if it passes time for you when you need to.
Well, Brad, you should see the amount of time that we need to pass. You know, thank God there are games at night. Well, the amount of time that we need to pass is unbelievable. So
if you're trying to figure me out, then that's. Just, That's a waste of time.
So, for the record, though, you did not buy the shirt? I think people want to know.
I did not buy the shirt.
Your wife didn't buy the shirt? Your wife didn't buy the shirt?
No, but she gets such a kick out of it. So, like,
that's good to know. I'm happy somebody likes it.
I think it's do whatever you want. Trust me. I know you got to fill time, and I know you guys got a job to do.
See, now
so
the
do
second time
you
said that, I don't appreciate that. No, I'm just kidding. So when you do you have a go to word like when you get upset? It's clearly not G Willikers. Do you have a go to like a go to word or phrase?
Probably can't say it on the radio.
Well, you got any hints?
I know I can't say it on the radio.
You got any hints? You can't sniff around it at all. Give us a little hint.
I've been caught a few times on camera. The hard part about being caught on camera is when you have a 10 and a 14-year-old that are like, you know, they know how to use all this stuff and get on the internet and follow everything closer than I do. So, you know, right after I have a bad moment, I hear about it at home. And I think I told this story a couple weeks ago. So I got tossed my first year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was pretty easy. I mean, I didn't say much. I think he was just managing the end of the game, and, you know, Gerald Wallace got tossed, and I said something that, you know, Mark Davis didn't necessarily agree with. It was my very first year in Sacramento, and there's a picture of Mark, like, throwing his arm and me just sitting there with the clipboard in my hand, like, looking at him. And so anytime my son, like, doesn't agree with what I tell him, or, you know, if I say, hey, you got to – do your homework, whatever the case may be, I get that in the text, that picture. So that's the world that I live in. So no matter you can do your thing as much as you want. I get it worse at home.
I mean, if you want to try to use it in a game, just if you use that on the refs, you probably won't get tossed. If you just hit him with a G Willikers, you're probably not gonna get tossed.
I might try that.
I might try that.
Here's the deal. If I get a tech,
don't say I got to pay the fine.
The fine.
Arcan, you want to pool our money together? We'll pay the fine.
Sure, we could probably do some installments. You know?
I'm gonna say yes to that, but I'll get back to. I may have to be an IOU, but I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Right. I'm holding you to it.
Okay.
I'm holding you to it. Yeah. You got it. That would be great, right? Then you could keep the bit going.
That's a good point. Yeah. Sure. You let me know, Brad. You have your people get in touch with my people, and I'll get back to you on that. Fine.
We'll work together. Perfect. On it. Next tech I get, no matter what I said you will.
People helping people. Perfect.
All right. Well, Brad, now that we've gotten that out of the way, it's nice to see that you guys are playing so well leading into the All-Star break. Any worry, I guess, that the momentum you guys had going into that break might get interrupted here?
Well, I think the worry is just we're in the midst of a brutal schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, this is no joke coming up, and it was no joke ending, right? I was really pleased with how we played. January 3rd through February 13th was quite a stretch. We hit the bumps in the middle of that, which, you know, as you kind of look over the course of the season, you're going to have moments like that, and especially in those, you know, 9 and 14 days or whatever it was. And so, but I was pleased with how we stayed the course and finished that, but you know, this is going to be really hard, and it's going to be really hard starting Friday night at Minnesota. One of the things that we have to get back, when we get back to practice tonight, which will be our first practice when we're allowed to after the All-Star break, like, it's about getting your compete focus back. It's about making sure that, you know, whatever you did to relax and get away, which is totally necessary, now you're able to get back into the this is how hard it's going to be. Because we go right on the road. New team in Minnesota who's played great since the trades. And then we've got, obviously, Lakers, Portland, Utah, back-to-back-to-back. And that's just going to be really difficult. We got to make sure that, you know, we're ready to go on Friday night.
How does it work, Danny, Brad, when you're talking to Danny about players that, you know, he could be looking at, whether it's a buyout or the trade deadline? At what point does he get you involved? Like, how does that work? Does he ever inquire for your feedback, and what point in the process is that?
So the trade, there's so many options during trade season, right? I mean, basically, you know, the however many players there are, maybe there's a few untouchable in the league, but there's so many options. So you're always, you know, just, you know, talking about who you like. So, like, all year when we play a game, I'll call back or I'll text him after the game and say, hey, keep an eye on this guy if they become, you know, willing to move him or whatever the case may be. Most of the time, people aren't. And so, you know, we'll go through maybe 10 or 12 people that I think we should look at targeting. Maybe he says, you know, that makes sense except for this, this, and this, both in the short term and long term. And then it usually gets to about 6 to 8, and then, you know, he and his staff have already made a lot of those calls and done a lot of that background and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm really not in the discussion much after that. I'm not on the phone calls with the other team, so I don't know necessarily what's been bantered back and forth. But, you know, certainly there at the beginning of it. And then I'm around during the trade deadline day and available during that week anytime they need me for kind of an ad hoc meeting or whatever the case may be to talk about something that came up out of the blue. It's just become less and less over the last couple of years as far as things coming up out of the blue. When we were making so many moves my first 2 years, I mean, it was like, you know, it was call after call or meeting after meeting. Now it's just a lot less. With the buyouts, it's a little bit different because you hear the same names everybody talks about. You don't know necessarily what's going to happen with most of these guys. I mean, I would assume that if most of the buyout market's probably done because, you know, they've had 10 days or 20 or 15 days since the trade deadline to make all those decisions. But you never know until that March 1st deadline. And, you know, you just talk about, okay, would adding that person in that role really help our team? And I think that role part is a big, big question, right? Because I think anybody's good or their best version of themselves when they play 32 minutes a game. But when you come off the bench and maybe you're playing spot minutes, or maybe you'll get in a playoff series, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll play 8 to 10 minutes. Are you that good? And Danny reminds me of that often. I think that's one of the benefits of his experience in the league. He's just seen guys that look great in one situation, but then get in another situation and it's just not as ideal for them. And that affects how you play.
Brad, Jason Tatum in the month of February, really since he got the nod for the All-Star game, has been playing out of his mind. From your perspective, you're almost 30 points a game in the month of February. What's he doing better than he was doing earlier in the season from where you sit?
I just think he's continuing to play with, you know, just every game. You know, obviously you do it month by month, year by year, whatever the case may be. His improvement is really good, but you can see his confidence growing with every game and his recognition growing with every game. I thought the other day, you know, people talked about, and rightfully so, he and Kawhi going back and forth in that game. But there were also many other times where, you know, he figured out on the fly where he wanted the ball, how he wanted it, the matchup he wanted, and those type of things. And I thought that was really, really showed great growth. What he's done at 21 years old, there's very few people really in the history of the league that have done that. But I think because he's been on a good team, and because his, you know, he is going to, you know, we're going to play in meaningful games. You know, obviously I think sometimes we all forget that, but it's amazing what he's accomplished, and I'm really happy for him to get a chance to be an All-Star. And I'm probably more encouraged about how he's played since being named an All-Star, because that could have gone the other way with a number of people. But he just took it up a level, you know, instead of, you know, resting on his laurels and patting himself on the back.
All right, he's head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Celtics get back in action Friday night in Minnesota, 8 p.m. tip time here on the Sports Hub. Brad, thanks for taking the time. I want to let you know I've already started the GoFundMe to pay for any fines, so we're good to go.
There you go. Be well, guys. All right. Have a great week.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad Stevens, as all our guests, joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good sports, those Stevenses.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.